Okay, thank you very much for joining Shabbos Parshas Bereishis. We're going to be learning some Achasim Sofer together this year. Very, very excited to. We already began. We had a couple of shiur in the Achasim Sofer already, but now we're beginning the new Zman. I sent out a sheet that has the various. I sent out a sheet. I could let's see if I could just share the screen. We can take a look at the pieces together. Let's begin with the Chasam Sofer discussing the creation of the water, the Rakia, on day number two. So we can take a look over here at the creation of water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a separation between the upper water and the lower water. So let's take a look. Vayomer Elokim Pasuk Vav Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim. Imavdi b'mayim l'mayim. Vayasel kim asarakia vayavdel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the rakia, the firmament, the heaven, the expanse. Vayavdel b'in hamayim asher mitachas l'rakia uvein hamayim asher me'al l'rakia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided between the waters that are the oceans and the water that is Me'al l'rakia, the water that's mitachas l'rakia, and the water that is me'al l'rakia. Listen to the Chasam Sofer's take on this. Pirish Rashi, she'eino ma'al harakia, ela l'mala mimenu, utluyim b'mamaro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ayin Shom. That the upper waters, because the question is, how do the upper waters, right, the lower waters, so there's gravity that keeps the lower water on the ground. How does the upper waters stay where it is? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that the upper waters are suspended in air with the word of Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word in creating the world, right? Yehi Rakia, when Hashem said, Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim, so those words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the upper waters standing up there. So the Chasam Sofer sees a remez in this Medrash that the water is Tluyim b'ma'amaro shel HaKadosh Baruch. Listen to what he says over here, very, very beautifully. This is a topic that, for those who have been listening to me talk for a lot of years, this is a topic that is very, very dear to my heart. That's why I picked out this Chasam Sofer. V'nirali remez b'havdolas hamayim. So the Chasam Sofer says, I want to tell you a remez that I see in the separation of the lower water and the upper water. Amru Chazal Maseches Tainus, one of my favorite Gemaras in all of Shas. Okay, we just learned in the Daf Yomi, you're not supposed to say that. All Gemaras are great. All Gemaras are great. You don't have favorite Gemaras, better Torah and less better Torah. All Torah is wonderful. I'll say one of the pieces of Torah that I'm very fond of quoting is this Gemara in Tainus. Ha Torah Nimshal Olamayim. Torah is compared to water. Hoy Kol Tzamei L'chu L'mayim. The Gemara says, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Ein mayim ela Torah. Shemanich hamakom gavah v'nozlim lamakom namach. Why is Torah compared to water? Because water always flows from a higher place to a lower place. V'hainu mayim atachtonim. The Gemara talks about how Torah will only last with a person who is humble. Humility. Torah always goes to a person who is in a lower place. A person who lowers himself, a person who doesn't think of himself as great. As we begin the new year, Parshas Bereishis, we begin Chumash again. Let's remember that to acquire Torah, a person has to lower himself, has to humble himself, has to not be too into his own pleasures, into his own covet, into his own self-aggrandizement. The Gemara in Tainus on Daf Zayin teaches us that Torah only lasts in a humble person, will only really exist in a person who's humble. And that's the Mayim HaTachtonim, says the Chasam Sofer. However, says the Chasam Sofer, there's also Mayim HaElyonim. What's the Mayim HaElyonim? Ach, Ksiv, Vayigba Libo B'Darchei Hashem. I didn't look up where the Pasuk is, but it's somewhere in Tanakh. I forgot where the Pasuk is already. Vayigba Libo B'Darchei Hashem. There's also sometimes an inyan in Torah that a person has to have a little bit of arrogance. Like the Gemara says, Shminis Shebishminis. The Gemara says, an eighth of an eighth, 1/64th of a measure of arrogance, every person has to have. Vayigba libo b'darkei Hashem. You need a little bit of chutzpah. You need a little bit of arrogance to be a Ben Torah also. Says the Chasam Sofer, where do you need a little bit of chutzpah? Where do you need a little bit of arrogance to be a Ben Torah? Number one, the very first Sifin Shulchan Aruch, the first Ramah. Lo yizbayesh mipnei amaligin. If you know it's the right thing, something's the right thing in Torah, but your whole community is telling you this is wrong, you shouldn't do this, you can't be embarrassed. You got to have a little bit of gaiva. You got to be a little bit tough. You have a little bit, of chutzpah. If you know that Hashem wants you to do a certain thing, but your whole community doesn't want it, so if you're a humble person, you're not going to make waves. You're not going to do the right thing. You're not going to do the right thing. You're not going to be proud to assert the Torah perspective on a certain issue. You're a lemichel. You're a pushover. You never say the right thing. You're always scared to say the right thing. You're always scared, what are my friends going to say about me if I daven with kavano, or I learn the right way, or I put my koichas into my mitzvahs. So number one, where you need gaiva is lo yispash nei amaligin. V'lo yisa p'nei kol ish limchos b'over avera. Whoa. What about making a macha when a person's doing something wrong? You have to be very careful about this. When you make a macha, when you don't make a macha. But if you have the ability to change somebody's perspective on something, you have the ability to correct somebody's behavior, you got to have a little bit of arrogance. Again, you do it in the right way. You do it. You can't be scared of what somebody's going to say about you, what somebody's going to tell you. If you can help somebody be better, you have to have a little bit of gaiva. You have to have a little bit of chutzpah. Limchos b'over avera, ulahoros la'am Hashem darkei Hashem, or to teach other people the right way to be. You have to have a little bit of gaiva. To be a rebbe, you have to have a little bit of gaiva. Who are you to walk into a classroom or to be a rabbi or to go tell other people what they should be doing? You're a humble person. Who am I? I gotta be a humble person. Who am I? I can't go tell other people what the right thing is. Ulahoros la'am Hashem darkei Hashem, v'yivtach be'lo kav levado. By the way, just so you know, the Chasam Sofer is on Safaria. Look at that. That's where I got the Hebrew text from. Just so you should know, interestingly, Chasam Sofer is on Safaria. V'yiftach be'elokav levado. V'hainu hamayim ha'elyonim hamagbiyim la'shaves. Paraphrasing the words that we say in the Hallel. Mika Hashem Elokeinu hamagbihi la'shaves. That's the mayim ha'elyonim that raise a person up. And so this is he listened to the Chasam Sofer's play on the words of the Medrash. V'heim t'luyim b'mamaro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. T'luyim b'mamaro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The upper waters that are suspended with Hashem's word. What do you mean they're suspended? So the simple pshat means Hashem's word at creation is what suspended them. But the Chasam Sofer has a play on the words. T'luyim b'mamaro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lo b'shum smicha me'ha'olam ha'zeh v'anashav. The words of Torah stand on their own. They stand by the words of Hashem, even if the whole rest of the world is not holding them up. So a person who has that gaiva, he should feel the support of Hashem by himself. That's what it means. This upper Torah, this exalted Torah, this Torah of gaiva, so what holds it up? Even though this whole world doesn't hold it up, Hashem holds up the words on his own. Hashem holds up the Baal Gaiva. Hashem holds up the Baal Gaiva. Vayig Baal Liba B'darchei Hashem. These words are Tluyim B'Mamaro Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mayim HaElyonim, which symbolizes the Torah of strength, the Torah that gives a person the rights to be a Shtickle Baal Gaiva, one-eighth of an eighth, a little bit of Vayig Baal Liba B'darchei Hashem, who holds it? The whole rest of the world isn't going to hold him up. That's Tluyim B'Mamaro Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah itself holds such a person up. I think that's in the Barchi Nafshi, no? Isn't that from the Barchi Nafshi? I didn't look it up. That the upper waters, the upper waters, Hamakareba Mai Malosov, Hasam Avim Ruchuvo, right? That you're flying on the clouds. This is a reference to the fact that even though 95% of the time a person wants to acquire Torah has to be a humble person, but there's a small time, there's a 5% that a person needs. Vayigba libo b'darkei Hashem, you gotta be tough when it comes to helping other people learn, when it comes to doing the right thing, even if it's unpopular, everybody else is not doing it. So then you have to be Hamikarev Amayim Aliyosav. Hasam Ovim Ruchuvo. You have to fly on the clouds, like it says in the Barchi Nafshi Kapitel. Okay, this is piece number one. Okay. The next piece is so brilliant and so sharp. So brilliant and so sharp. So brilliant and so sharp. It's so. The Musar piece of it is sort of like secondary. The piece is so incredibly brilliant and sharp. So hold on with me through this second piece. You got to hold on with me, and then we'll get to the third piece, which is the main point of the shiur. The main special delicacy of the shiur is going to be the third point. The second point is just brilliant and sharp. Hey, Gabi, good to see you. I didn't see you on the Zoom. And okay, here we go. The main brilliant part. Listen to this piece. Listen to the brilliant. This is part of the Chasam Sofer's signature here. We're learning the Chasam, just the brilliance. But there's an important Musar lesson too. I wouldn't do it if there wasn't an important Musar lesson. So let's take a look. Vayomer Elokim. So now we finished day two. We're up to day three. Tad Sheharetz Desha. So Hashem says to the ground. Tad Sheharetz Desha. Hashem says to the ground, let the earth sprout forth grass. Esav Mazria Zera. Eitz Piri. Osep Pri Lamino. Eitz Pri. When Hashem commanded the ground, that the Eitz Piri. Rashi says, Sheitama Eitz Kitama Pri. Hashem commanded the ground that when you make the trees, the taste of the tree should be the same taste as the fruit of the tree. The tree and the fruit of the tree should have the same taste, says Rashi. But when it came time to make the peiros, the land did not listen to Hashem, and the land did eitz osepri and not eitz pri. And says Rashi, when the land was cursed, when Adam did his Avera, and the land got cursed, so the land got punished then as well. The land got punished then for when Adam got cursed, so then the land got cursed. Right? Because the land didn't listen to Hashem, just like Adam didn't listen to Hashem, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. The land also didn't listen to Hashem, because Rashi says that the land was commanded that the trees should taste the same as the fruit, and the land didn't do it. The land was commanded Eitz Peri, and they didn't do it. The land did Eitz Osepri. It wasn't Eitz Peri. Listen to the Chasam Sofer's brilliant take on this issue. Brilliant. Perish Rashi, you can follow along with me inside over here if you want. Perish Rashi, Eitz Peri, Sheyiatama Eitz Kitama Peri. V'hilo Asasakein, V'fikach Kishiniskal Ha'odam, Al-Cheta Nifkadol Gam Hivaniskala. So says the Chasam Sofer, Tzarech Bir, Lama Lo Nensha Meikara. Question number one, why did Hashem wait to punish the land until Adam sinned? Why didn't he punish the land right away? Question number one. The Yesh Lomar, the Nehisha Yisroi Lo'onesh, Miyo Ha'aretz Nitna Levnei Adam. Okay, answer number one, the Chasam Sofer says, if Hashem would punish the ground, that would also be a punishment to man. So it's not nice to punish the land if man didn't deserve the punishment. So he waited till Adam Arishan also sinned. Oh, so then I can punish the land, because then it makes sense. Okay, a sharp answer. But then he gives a second answer. Take a look. The Od Yesh Lafarish, listen to this brilliance of the second answer. Listen to this. Va'od yesh lefarish. Dechet ha'adam ba al yudei chet ha'aretz. the sin of Adam happened because of the sin of the land. She'achal me'etz hadas. The Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas. Hayalo teretz. Shira she'ishto achla v'lo mesa. Adam could have had a defense. He says, look, I saw my wife ate from the Eitz Hadas and nothing happened to her. So I thought I could eat too. Va'al karchecha tzarech lomar. Therefore, against your will, you have to say as follows. De'eta iker cheta'o haya shehosef al divrei Hashem. Adam Arishon's main sin was that he added on to Hashem's words. Because Hashem said, don't eat it. But he said, v'ama lo sigubo. Sha'ideze haya l'nachash makam l'fatos. Keperish Rashi l'kaman. Kishem she'ein misa b'negia. Kach ein misa ba'achila. The main avera was adding on to the sin, right? Rashi quotes that we learn from here, kol hamosif goreya. You're not allowed to add on to the averus. It's enough what Hashem told us that we can't do. You're not supposed to add on. So here, Hashem said, don't eat it. But then they added on and said, oh, he said, don't touch it. And the nachash pushed chavo said, you see, you don't die when you touch it, so you can eat it also. Amnam gamzelo hayachet. However, even that was not a sin. Even saying why is adding on, why is losigabo a sin? Dari Avram Chazal shetzrich lasos siyug together v'hisiga data ladas hachamazal. So why was it a problem that the nachash said not only don't eat it but don't touch it? Aren't we supposed to make fences around the surim, right? Isn't that a good thing to do? It's a good thing to do. I want to make sure you're not even gonna eat it, so I say don't even touch it, right? Don't even bring treif into the house. Okay, you're allowed to have treif in your house. No, we make a fence, don't even bring it in. So why was it such a bad thing saying not to touch the tree? The nachash was just being mamish like Chazal. Chazal say you're supposed to make fences around the Yisurim. So why is it a bad thing to say you're not even allowed to touch the tree? That sounds like it should be a good thing. Mitzarech lomar, so says the Chasam Sofer so brilliantly. Dilafi hanire, omar lo shelo siga afilu be'etz. No. The nachash said, don't even to touch. You know, well, again, who said lo sigubo? Was it the nachash? I want to get it right over here. What happened over here? Let's take a look. Who said it? 1 second. Take a look at the psukim. Who said lo sigubo? 1 second. Was it the nachash? Let's see. 1 minute. Af ki amar hanachash ha'arim lo sochlu. Right, Chava is the one who said. Chava is the one who's lo sigubo. Right, Chava. That was the big sin. And Chava added lo sigubo. So says the Chasam Sofer. You have to say again. Saying so says the Chasam Sofer. Had Chava said not to touch the fruit, that would have been fine. That would have been Gzeira Chazal. Sarach Loma, Delfi Anera, Omer La, Shelo Siga Afilu Be'etz. Dimlo Kane, Lo Haya Lanachash Makam Lufatos, Aide Dechifa Be'etz, Velesar Hanagia Be'etz. Dezem Mishmeres L'Mishmeres. Saying don't touch the tree, that is really way too much. That's like a Gzeira L'Gzeira. It's like a fence around the fence. That would be too much. The Dai be Isser Nagia Sapri. Yeah, had they said just not to touch the pri, that would have been enough. But now that they said don't touch the tree, so that's like a Xera Luxera. That's like a fence around the fence. That's really wrong. Ibra, however, says the Chasam Sofer, the Enos and Siogasak Ibra, the Yesh Lomar. So it only makes sense that it's an avera to say don't touch the tree if the tree didn't taste the same as the fruit. But if the tree tasted the same as the fruit, so then the tree and the fruit is all the same thing. So then saying don't touch it
would have made sense. Umali negias pila negias eitz. Ve'ezer roi v'oz ha'yer roi lasas geder lasa negias eitz. V'lo chata adam klak mashka safti. Imkein ha'idei sh'niglen chayta aretz. Shelo hotziya tam eitz u'peryo shave ba chayt adam. So the sin of man was only revealed through the sin of the Adama. Since the Adama made the eitz different than the pri, so Memela saying, don't touch the tree, became an Avera. So the Avera of Adama only became an Avera only once the land had an Avera. Shehosif shelo kedin, uba hamichshal al yidei haaretz. So that's why man's sin, mamish, happened as a result of the land's sin. Lafikach, kishachata Adam, niskala gama aretz al avona. So that's why the land only got punished once Adam sinned. Because it was through Adam's sin that we saw that the land's sin was a sin as well. It's only because Adam got punished for saying, adding on. So why was he punished? Must be he was punished because the time of the eights and the pre were different. Since the time and the eights and the pre were different, so therefore the fence was a double removed fence. So it was only through the fact that the land sinned, that Adam's Avera became an Avera. Had the land not sinned, then Adam saying, don't touch the tree, wouldn't have been an Avera. Then it would have been a very appropriate Gezeira to make. I taught you this Chasam Sofer for two reasons. Number one, it's what a brilliant Chiddush in understanding why the Aretz only got punished once man sinned. Because it was only through man's sin that we understood how bad it was that the land distinguished between the eights and the pre. Because now, only now is it determined that the fact that Adam said, that Chava said that we're not even allowed to touch, that we're not even allowed to touch the tree, only then do we see that it became an Avera. So that's Stama brilliance, that's Stama Goinus that he figured out. Why was the land not punished until Adam sinned? Because it was only then that we saw how bad what the land was, that Adam's gzeir l'gzeir became gzeir l'gzeir. But in terms of the Musavar, why did Kamenetsky include this Chasam Sofer on Hashkafic themes in the Parsha? You see something very, very important from here. A few things. Number one, Kol HaMosif Goreah, right? That's one of the themes of the Parsha, Kol HaMosif Goreah. That you, in general, you're not supposed to add on. You're not supposed to add on. But the Chasam Sofer says you are supposed to add on. You are supposed to make fences in a case where you know that the thing that you're taking offense on will cause you to do something wrong. Somebody once asked me a question about billboards in Manhattan. He knows every time he walks to work, so he always passes by this billboard that's an improper billboard. So I said, yes, so you got to walk a different way. So you're going to say, well, but there's no issa to walk down this street. The issa is to look at the billboard. So maybe you should just walk down the street, but don't look at the billboard. But you can't be a fool. If you know every time you walk down, you're always going to look at the billboard. You're going to have the time to do this. So you got to walk a different way. That's a fence. That's a good fence. But exera l'exera, you're going to mamish aser everything in the world because I might come to do something wrong. So then you're already going to forbid everything. You got to live in this world. You got to live in this world, and you can't make fences around everything. You got to know what's in a... My Rebbe likes to say, every chumrah is a kula. We talked about this recently. Every time you take chumrahs are no good. Chumrahs are no good. You're not supposed to be machmir. You're supposed to spend your time keeping the 613 mitzvahs that we have. Hashem gave us already 365 things that you're not allowed to do. Now, to build a fence around something to make sure that you're not going to do an Avera, that's good. But a fence around a fence, but you're going to totally aser everything because I might come to, that's no good. You got to live also. You got to live and you got to be involved in this world. So the Chasam Sofer does this dance between what are you allowed to prohibit? If it's something that's going to lead you to do an Isser, yeah, then it's okay to make a fence. But if it's something that's going to be so restrictive that I might come to do this wrong, I might come a fence around the fence, so that's already wrong.
And you're going to end up, people who restrict themselves too much end up violating Yisurim. Because you can't live your life that way. You got to live your life. You got to be normal. You got to be normal. You got to do the normal things that normal people do. Things that are going to lead you to Yisurim, it's okay to make offense. But chumras that are so draconian that it's, I might come to think about doing something wrong. So that's a bad thing to do. That's the kind of chumra that's bad to do. Okay. Now I come to the centerpiece of the shir. The piece that I would, that just completely blew me away. The piece that completely blew me away. Now it has to do with the Kedusha of Shabbos. We're starting the new Shabbosos of the year, right? The new Shabbosos of the year, the first Shabbos of the year. The first Shabbos of the year in many respects. This Shabbos could be a very, very special Shabbos, a very, very beautiful Shabbos. And it's a new opportunity to up our game on Shabbos and to up the level of Shabbos. And this next piece of Chasam Sofer gives us a little bit of a hint to the power of Shabbos. The power of Shabbos to sanctify a person. And as we enter into Shabbos Bereishis, the new Shabbos, I wanted you to try to think, and I'm talking to myself, that I should try to think about focusing on the koach of Shabbos, the incredible power that Shabbos has to elevate and strengthen a person. Listen to this piece of Chasam Sofer. The Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra. The Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra. Lefi Das Chazal, Hayom Mutter Lo Eitz Hadas B'Yom Shabbos. Unbelievable. I had never heard of this Chazal before. I had never heard of this before reading this. And I didn't look it up. I didn't have time. I had a crazy, crazy week, and I had a crazy, crazy night last night. I did this at 1:30 in the morning last night. It was a very, very late night. I didn't have time to look up this medrash, but apparently there is a medrash that says, Hayom Mutter Lo Eitz Hadas B'Yom Shabbos. Extra points for anyone from the shir who could look up this medrash after the shir and find for me where the medrash is. If you could find me this medrash, you get extra credit. Extra credit. There's a medrash that says like this, the Eitz Hadas Tovra, Lefi Das Chazal, Hayom Mutter Lo Eitz Hadas B'Yom Shabbos. Had Adam waited for Shabbos to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he would have been allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas on Shabbos. Ela shehechiloso boser. Chava fed Adam from the Eitz Hadas unripe fruit. It was boser. It wasn't yet ripe. It would have become ripe on Shabbos. Pirush kodem zmano. He chapped arayin from the fruit before it was ripe. V'chein ha-svara note, lo l'tobaro, right? It makes logical sense, says the Chazanova. It doesn't make sense that Hashem would create a tree that had fruit on it that wasn't for a man's consumption. But you just had to wait until it ripened on Shabbos in order to eat it. Pirish lo l'chinam nata kadosh baruch hu ilano sa'elu b'socha gan. Hashem didn't plant these trees for no reason. They were made for everybody. Even the Eitz Hadas was made to eat. And my parents asur lo'olam. El al-kacha ha-yamutter b'zman Minazmanim. It was going to be mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas if you would have just waited. I never heard this medrash before. The kiblu chachamein and zichron levracha she'ilu himtinad Shabbos ha'yer mutter bo. Had Adam Arishan waited to eat from the Eitz Hadas until Shabbos, it would have been mutter for Adam Arishan to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Wow. So first of all, I've been living for 53 years on this earth. I never heard this medrash. Now listen, forget about listening to the medrash. Listen to the Chasam Sofer's brilliant analysis. Listen to his brilliant analysis of this medrash. V'nirali la'azbir be'ezasar mismach alpima shakos of Ramban. He bases it on this that the Ramban, famous Ramban, about the Eitz Hadas. Eitz Hadas Tovara, Rotzalomar. The Ramban, famous Ramban, says that eating of the Eitz Hadas is what gave Adam Arishon Bechira. It's what gave him Bechira, that before Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, man did not really have choice to choose good and evil. The way the Rambam writes it, it was Emes and Sheker beforehand. The Ramban says, he didn't have a choice. Adam's natural inclination was to do the right thing. He didn't really have Bechira. He didn't have a Yetzirah. He didn't have Bechira. The Kodem Lachain, Haya oved Hashem b'teva mizgo. The Ramban says that before Adam reached any from the Yisadas, to serve Hashem was man's natural inclination. It was the natural inclination was to serve Hashem. V'lo haya chifetz klal alzeh. There was no drive to serve Hashem. There was no desire. It was natural. Like eating and drinking. It was the natural thing, right? Like the person didn't have drive. V'hine muvan. Kizeh kol ha'adam lios baal b'chira. Isn't it part of the human condition to be a baal b'chira? V'yivchar b'tov v'char t'b'chayim. Part of being a human being is to have b'chira. Is to have choose. We want to live in a world that we can choose to serve Hashem. We want to have the challenge of a Yetzer Hara telling us not to do it. And we want to be able to fight that Yetzer Hara and defeat the Yetzer Hara and choose. We want to grow. We want our Yiddishkeit to mean something. We want to have to fight a little bit for our Judaism. That's part of being a human being. Uvachayta b'chayim. If we have no bechira, so then there's no reward. There's no reward for being a yid if you have no bechira. If it's the natural way you were created to serve Hashem, so there's no reward. Ach, im shayresh adam minu urav banay al yisodos ruuim ofer mina adama noite labahamius. If man is created with a natural Nefesh HaBehema, a desire to do bad stuff. Im yelo b'chira, karov lehefsid, sheyivchar haralo v'yimas betovlo. However, if man gets his b'chira chavshis while his animalistic instincts have control over him, so the b'chira is going to go in the wrong direction. You're going to end up choosing, making the bad choices. If your foundation of your Bechira is founded on a Nefesh Bahamas, which has taivas and makes bad choices, so you're going to make bad choices. Have a omrim l'ra tov l'tov ra. So your Nefesh HaBahami, your Yetzahara is going to cause you to call what is really good bad, and to call what's really bad to call it good, to think it's good. The Kar of Lehefsin Menaschar. And you're going to more likely make bad choices than good choices. Listen to this line in Chasam Sofer. Listen to this brilliant Chiddush. Listen to what the Koyach of Shabbos, according to the Chasam Sofer, listen to what he says. Al Kain Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelo Yocha Mina Eitz Be'erev Shabbos Kodesh. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that Adam HaRishon would not eat from the Eitz Hadas on Erev Shabbos. Ad Kenisas HaShabbos, he wanted to make sure that he would only get his Bechira Chofshis on Shabbos. Oz HaYazaychel Neshama Yisera HaKadosha B'Yoser. Because on Shabbos, a person gets a Neshama Yisera, he gets an extra measure of holiness in him on Shabbos. On Shabbos, a person gets an extra measure of holiness. B'Yeser Se'es. HaYazaychel Neshama Yisera HaKadosha B'Yeser Se'es. He gets his neshama Sarah, that's extra holy. Va'az im yoichal. Had Adam Rishon eaten from the Eitz Hadas on Shabbos, v'yachnis bo koach chefetz v'abechira, if he would get bechira on Shabbos, yeh yisoida yibonoi al yisod kodesh, so then his bechira would have been built on a holy foundation. Vishuv lo yasser mimenu bechira hatova afilo achara Shabbos. Says the Chasam Sofer, had he gotten his bechira on Shabbos, so then the bechira would have been given to him in such a holy manner that it would have been founded on the right principles. So Adam HaRishon would have, that good type of bechira, the correct bechira, would have lasted with him even after the Shabbos. Because everything is founded on the foundation that the building is built upon. The Nachash, the Yetzahara, caused Adam to eat before the Shabbos. afruris gashmius gavar alav. He caused him to eat while, before Adam got his neshama yisera, he caused him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The Nachash caused Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas before he had that extra measure of Kedusha. Al kein, tchilas yisod binyan bichiraso lo tovahaya. Va'arehu karov lehefsid minaschar. So because of the sin of Adam Arishon, our Yetzirah has such a powerful, powerful sway over us that it became so much more difficult. We always were supposed to have Bechira. Having Bechira is a good thing. But according to the Chasam Sofer's analysis, we got a much worse, a much heavier, and a much more powerful and strong Yetzirah because of the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Wow. Now, I don't want to dwell on the theological implications of this Chasam Sofer about. This is something that everybody has to deal with, what did Hashem want? He wanted us to have a lighter Yetzirah, so we ended up getting it. Sounds like on the Chassid that Hashem really only wanted us to have a lighter Yetzirah, we ended up having a heavier Yetzirah. I don't want to get into the theological questions that this Chassid Sofer raises. I just want to get into one thing. You see from this Chassid Sofer the incredible power that Shabbos has on a person's Bechira. The power that Shabbos has, because we could learn from this Chasam Sofer that the Chasam Sofer said, had we gotten our Bechira Chavshus on Shabbos, so Shabbos would have been a game changer in terms of the level of Bechira that a person has. And I would submit to you that a lesson that we can take from this is that every single Shabbos still brings to each Shabbos a chance to tap into that power of Bechira before the Chet of Adam Arisha. Every Shabbos, even though now we have the stronger Yetzirah, but Shabbos still gives us that extra boost, still gives us that extra koach habechira. Choices that we make on Shabbos are different than choices that we make during the week. That's to me the yisod of the Chasam Sofer. That's the lesson that we can learn. And if we use Shabbos to think about the decisions and choices that we have in our lives, when we are infused with that sense of closeness to Hashem, then Shabbos could really have even a greater impact on our lives than it would otherwise have. Shabbos gives us a different perspective. Shabbos gives us spiritual glasses. It allows us to view life through the prism of the Neshama Yisera. It's that special time of the week where we can see things clearly, where we can roll back the effects of eating from the Eitz Hadas, because it's as if our choices and decisions are rooted from a different place. They have a different hashpah, have a different rooting. So there's a tremendous koach of, I think the Chasam Sofer is highlighting the incredible power that Shabbos has on our ability to make choices. And as we begin the new year with new choices, new Shabbos, new opportunities for hearing the Chumash start all over again from Bereishis. We should realize the power that Shabbos has to affect our Bechira, to affect the choices that we make. And we should use the Shabbos as a chance to make new choices, especially this first Shabbos, to all the things that we accepted upon ourselves during the Yom HaRoim. Right, let's use this first Shabbos. This is the real test to our koach habechira. Are we going to choose to use all of those promises that we made during the Ilah? All those promises. Now is the time to put them into practice. And the Chasam Sofer is teaching us here that Shabbos has a special ability to affect a person's bechira, to affect the choices that a person makes, to give a person that special extra push, that special extra koach to push him through all those things that he accepted upon himself to do on this new round. So may, again, at the end, he closes with one final piece. And he says that that when you listen to words of Torah, it's not only important to hear the words themselves, but even the person who's saying them. You could do that for homework. Even the person who's saying the words of Torah, that itself makes a difference. It makes a difference not only what you're hearing, but who you're hearing from. That's the last piece the Chasam Sofer says as well. But may be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we use this Shabbos Bereishis, especially right, we know that all the Shabbosos of the year, Tov Achris Dava Mei Reishiso, that the end of thing happens from the way you start something. So hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Koach this Shabbos to begin the first Shabbos of the year, the first Shabbos Bereishis, with a new sense of Hischadshus, of closeness to Hashem, with a new sense of Menuchas HaNefesh, with a new sense of realizing all we've been through the last couple of months. Let's start this new year off with an extra special Kedusha, an extra special sense of choice, extra special dose of humility, an extra special dose of Ayig Balibu Darchei Hashem. I want to wish each of you a great Shabbos, an enjoyable Shabbos, a wonderful, beautiful new year of Kabbalos, of putting our Kabbalos into action, of making the right choices. May this be a year of all of us making the right choices. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos, everybody. And
have a good Shabbos.
Hope to see you next week. Next week, hopefully, the
Pashtun will be... Thanks for the chizuk.
Okay. Hey, Barry. Great to hear from you, Barry.
Great to see you, Rabbi.
Good Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos.
Bye.
Shabbos.
Rabbi, thank you very much. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Great Shabbos.